Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Trinity comes from Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Wisdom has built her house. She has sown her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has set out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and I live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. Please read along with me the catechetical review found in the center portion of your bulletin. The second article, redemption. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, with his innocent suffering death, and that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. The epistle for this morning is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Stand.
Amen. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go out to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Word alien for you, what comes to mind? I would suspect that a lot of you, like the kids, immediately we start to think about creatures from outer space. If you're a dork like me and a sci-fi fan, then you really like that kind of stuff. You like the aliens, you like the creatures and all of those things. And for that matter, if you like watching any of the original Star Trek episodes, and then you have all of the franchise movies, of course, with that, and you get to see lots of aliens of different sizes and shapes from different worlds, galaxies, and planets. And we know that they're not human like us. Well, Webster's Dictionary defines an alien as this. Couple of things, but number one, a creature from outer space, an extraterrestrial. But it also defines it as this: a resident of one country who was born in or owes allegiance to another country and has not acquired citizenship but naturalization in the country of residence. In other words, this is many times, and this term isn't always used in a favorable way in our time today. It's used disparagingly. They don't speak the language. They don't look like us. They dress differently. They have different customs, different ways of doing things. Their culture that they come from, we may say, is completely foreign to ours. It's interesting what Paul has to say about this in our epistle for today. And he uses this word in there, alien and strangers. And this is what he says, beginning with verse 19 in chapter 2. Paul says this: "So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." This church, as all of the early churches, were struggling with their identity. And for Paul, he had to constantly get them back to their identity, that is, their baptismal identity. At one point, we even know that Paul sent Timothy there to the church in Ephesus because they were getting away from the pure teaching of the gospel, and false doctrine was beginning to rear its ugly head, much like we see in the church today. Taking them back to the purity of the gospel and their baptismal identity and who it is that they belong to. To stay true to the gospel, the truth they've been taught, and to avoid these false teachings and commandments of men. And all of them, they're all part of the family of God. Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. No longer aliens, they're all united and joined in Christ in his one true body, the church. having been granted this eternal citizenship in Christ. In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells this parable. And we know that the man who held this parable, the understanding of the parable is this, that this is Jesus. This is God. He sends out these invitations to his great banquet. And what happens? We find that there are these who alike begin to make these excuses, we see. They couldn't be bothered with something so important as things eternal. And what happens as a result of this? The master is incensed, so what does he do? He sends out servants with this command: go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant reports, this has been done and there's even more room. And he tells them this: go out then to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. God called us into his kingdom. You and I are the citizens of his reign, not because of anything that you or I did. It was simply through the preaching of the gospel, responding in belief, and the gift of faith. And through the preaching and teaching of his word, this is how God brings people into his kingdom. All are invited. This isn't something exclusive. We don't have to take a test to become a citizen of this kingdom. We don't have to earn the right to become members. We simply become citizens by believing in the saving gospel preached in our ears through the gift of faith, and as we continue to trust in the promises of God for us. You became a citizen of this heavenly kingdom through the waters of your baptism, sealed once for all for you. And notice that as the parable talks about some who were invited here, we have the poor in spirit. You and I were suffering from spiritual want. We recognize something is lacking. Jesus invites then you and I, us poor sinners, here to his banquet table where we are fed and nourished with things eternal, the riches of his glory in his Son, Jesus Christ. You will never lack, and you have all you need and in abundance. We were so crippled, as it says here, we were so crippled by our fallen state and by the sins that so easily beset us. Dear saints, you and I cannot help ourselves. We can't find a way out. And yet our Lord takes pity on us, and we are the ones that here find ourselves feasting with him in his kingdom, which has no end. He makes these broken, sin-sick souls whole and alive again. We were blind in our sin. We were unable to see Jesus until this good news was preached in our ears. And as the Holy Spirit called us, being drawn to his word, and through word and sacrament, he saved us again in the waters of baptism. And today we have the Holy Supper once again, where Jesus promises here in this space and time that he is present for us and continues to feed us with his very body and blood. We were lame, helpless, couldn't do anything for ourselves. But God, rich in his mercy, sent his Son to die for you on the cross, to save you from your sins. A broken, poor, crippled, blind, and lame sinner, he did this for you. In the Proverbs text for today, we see how this works, as wisdom calls and says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Dear saint, you live in a present and sure reality, the reality of your baptism. This wasn't just something that happened to you when you were an infant, something that happened to you whenever that was, even as an adult. This is the present and sure reality that you live in as a baptized child of God, washed clean, forgiveness of sins. This is certain and true for you and for me. When we look at this parable today, where do you see yourself? Where do you find yourself? Can you relate to the one who is there making the excuses? The master has invited you to the feast, to his kingdom. But like some of those who were invited, do you find that you're more interested in the temporal things of the world while neglecting the things eternal? We can so easily fashion idols out of the very things that God has blessed us with, worshiping the things rather than the one who has the giver of all. Sometimes when I think about this post-COVID world that we live in, I wonder sometimes if we become complacent in the church. That in some way we can think, well, now that major crisis is over, I can just kind of get back to my life, to normal. And maybe we can start thinking that I don't need God so much right now. I'll fit it into my schedule. And how easily then you and I can get caught up in the cares of the world. Just 3 years ago, do you remember how we were yearning for the things of God? We saw that throughout our country there were even many churches that were closed, not able to come and hear the comfort of the gospel preached and the sacrament. And yet, crises in our world are not anything new, and they're not going away. And have we become complacent? And as we look at our own country, I don't have to stand up here and tell you again this morning that America seems to be hurling headlong into the abyss. Nothing is normal. This pagan society we live in is just that, and it becomes more godless with each passing day. You and I are so easily tempted, easily enticed, and lured away from what is most important for us. Eternal things. The condition of your soul. And we can begin to think that we have peace and security in the things that we have, in our lives, in our jobs, and all of those other things. And how easily it is then that we find ourselves breaking the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. The second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And then there's the third, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That is, trusting and believing in God's word and all of his promises for you. Not neglecting the word, not neglecting. If any of this has maybe in some way caused you to wince or bristle this morning, dear saint, take heart. Because this is the Holy Spirit that continues to work in you, continues to call you into the kingdom where you joyfully hear God's word because you are forgiven. You live in his grace. This was won by Christ alone through what he accomplished for you on his cross. That is the free gift of salvation and eternal life for you. And repent and live in that forgiveness that has been won for you. So the great news is this morning, dear saints, that you and I are no longer aliens, but we are citizens. And we didn't earn it. The invitation was sent out. The Master called us into his kingdom by the Holy Spirit. And rejoice in that citizenship that was freely granted to you. For you and I were once strangers and aliens, but no longer. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, which lasts for all of eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.